Morning.
Morning.
Welcome as we've come to worship on this, the fourth Sunday of Easter. We can be thankful to God for some rain, amen?
Amen.
We ought to have a little dust, but a little rain's nice too, isn't it? Everything's turning green, the Lord's doing His work, and we just can marvel at the power of God and His faithfulness to us all in His creation. Let's look at a few announcements before we begin worship. You see, on Mondays 9 to 12, ladies officers, the Quilt Project, and that's to help support the veterans. Bible study on the 25th at 10 a.m., that's Thursday. This evening at 4, ladies auxiliary meeting. Tuesday, the deacons will meet at 6 o'clock. Johnny, want to say something to us about the food bank?
Yes, I kind of slipped up on you. So it's this Monday. It's at 10 o'clock.
So far, Caroline, Dennis, Billy, and myself. If there's anyone else that can help, it takes, well, if we have enough help, like we did last time, it takes about an hour, hour and a half. So it's just a good get together with some friends and do the Lord's work. So please let me know today so I can let Charles Drummond know how many we got coming tomorrow. Thanks.
And this is our partnership with Deep Run Church over by the fire department. And what will be happening is building food bags for families that need it. And how many bags are y'all normally doing, Johnny?
We did about 128 last time.
128, but there's enough food in
there. Makes a unit. Okay. So that's about 64 units.
So great ministry as we help feed those less fortunate if you participate in that. That is tomorrow, 10 a.m. Monday. All right? Any other announcements?
Jay, we have a lot of new people on our usher list for next year starting in July.
Uh-huh.
And so we want to have a real short usher training. I'm going to say the third Sunday in May. And I don't know what that date is. And the third Sunday in June, right after church, it shouldn't take more than about 30 minutes. And it's just for anybody who feels like they would like to have a little bit of training doing the ushering. It was worth it for me. Dexter came over and showed me a couple of things. And I was still surprised when I actually went through it. So for my first time ushering. So we're going to have a little training for
any other announcements? Again, welcome. Thank you for being here today. So let's look to the Lord as we begin worship. Worship together as we read the responsive reading in the bulletin. Do not be afraid.
Jesus is the first and the last.
And the living one.
He was dead and behold.
He is alive forever and ever.
Because he lives, we also will live.
Christ Jesus is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Father God, we come today to praise and to worship you, to glorify your name, to magnify the name of Jesus, our risen Lord. And as we worship today on this fourth Sunday of Easter, we pray that your presence will be evident in this place and in our lives, that we will be empowered to be the people you created us to be. So work in this worship time this morning as we pray and as we sing, we give you glory and praise the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all turn in our hymnals to 139. We're going to sing all three verses of Great is Thy Faithfulness. be seated. Mr. Ethan McLaughlin has our scriptures.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
The Old Testament reading is Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The New Testament reading comes from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down, and I have the authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Why should the shadow
Continue to worship as we pray this morning. Are there any needs we need to remember?
Pam Griffin,
okay.
The Joe Alfton family,
okay.
The family of Louise Duncan.
Okay.
Kirby Page.
Alan Moody.
Ann Wilkerson.
Dennis and Susan Heath.
Greg and Rhonda. Okay. We praise the Lord for those of you who've been mending that are back with us today. See several. I'd like for you to remember a friend of mine, and he's retired now. I've worked with him for many years. Wilford Pitts, he's in Rocky Mountain Intensive Care in the hospital. It's congestive heart failure. Remember his wife, Linda, she has battled lupus for many years. So the two of them are kind of in low cotton. Linda and Wilford Pitts. Do we have any others? Well, let's pray with thankful hearts, thanking the good Lord for his blessings he's given to us, each other, and a beautiful day when he's sending rain to meet the needs of the earth, his creation. God is so good to us, and we certainly need to let him know that this morning.
Thank you.
Dear Heavenly Father, we gather here today in your house on this beautiful rainy day to give you thanks, Lord, for the many blessings that you give us. Lord, we thank you for this rain. We thank you for everything that you do for us. Lord, but we have many in our church family that are struggling, suffering, also in the community as well. Lord, we ask that you just bless them, touch them, heal them, comfort them, and faith that only you know how. We also ask that you be with this church, Lord, with the vision movement, and ask that you continue to be a part of us. Lead, guide, and direct us. We thank you, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's all stand and turn in our hymnals to 343. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Amazing Grace.
Be seated. Stand for the doxology, please. Be seated. Our scripture text today comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verses 1 through 9. We'll refer to that here as we get going. Our thought today is a work in progress. You ever known anybody like that?
Yes, I have.
All right. How about the Leaning Tower of Pisa? You've seen it, at least in pictures, right? Okay. The tower was located in Pisa, Italy, and for centuries it was assumed that it was designed by the 12th century architect Bonanno Pisano. In recent years, there has been speculation that the building was designed by an architect named Dotto Savi. Whoever designed it, you can be sure of this. The leaning aspect was not included in the original blueprint. It was intended to stand up straight. It's interesting to note that the original designer, whoever it was, did not live to see its completion. That's because from the day they broke ground to the proverbial ribbon-cutting ceremony, it took 199 years to complete it. Amazing that it took so long when you consider how long it took to build other historical monuments. The Roman Colosseum was built in just 10 years. The Great Pyramid of Giza took 20 years. Buckingham Palace only took 23 years. So it's surprising that a building that doesn't stand up quite straight took 199 years to complete. What a work in progress. Can you imagine the number of laborers who spent their entire lives on the project? Never saw it come to near completion. And you wonder how many of them stopped at one point while they were on break time and said, "Is it my imagination, or does that building seem to be leaning a little bit?" I find the leaning aspect of the tower fascinating. It's amazing that it's still standing after all these years. And according to experts, it isn't expected to fall. But what I really find fascinating is the 199-year part. The work in progress. No doubt you've seen at some time in your daily drive to work a building under construction, you start thinking, "Oh, there's a new building. I wonder what it'll be." Yeah? Anybody? Every day you can see more and more progress being made. The frame, the walls, the windows, the exterior. And sure enough, a month or so later, you see a brand new Dollar General deep run. Man, did that thing go up quick. It's easy to observe the progress when it's steady. However, with a building that it takes 199 years to complete, you can go decades without seeing any measurable change. But if you keep at it, eventually you just might have a building that's classified as a classic. Here's my point. Spiritual growth. The process of becoming holy, the process of becoming like Jesus, is more like the construction of the Leaning Tower of Pisa than it is the construction of a local Dollar General. It doesn't happen quite as quickly as we would like for it to happen. In fact, sometimes it seems like the work will never be done. Writer Regina Brett has referred to people who are a work in progress without the progress. We may know someone who qualifies, and I suppose, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, sometimes as we look in the mirrors in the morning, we feel like that person. I don't always see the spiritual progress in my life. And many times we don't always see the spiritual progress in our lives as often as we would like to see it. But if you're a follower of Jesus, if your life is wrapped up in Him, man, do I have some good news for you this morning. Anybody want any good news?
Yes.
The building will be completed. It will pass inspection. It will be built on time, and it'll last forever. The first chapter of Paul's letter to the Corinthians talks about this very idea. Today begins a series in which we want to study this letter. It's the second longest letter in the New Testament. Romans is slightly longer, so this will be an extended series. And I think if Paul could title this letter, this title might fit it. Good News for the Not So Good. And that's what we'll see in weeks to come. You know, and I'm glad there's good news for the not so good. How about you? 1 Corinthians was written in the year 55, give or take a year. It was written to the church, which was actually a network of house churches in the sophisticated seaport city of Corinth. Corinth was a key city in terms of commerce and tourism. It was noted as a city filled with idolatry and anything goes approach to morality and living. This worldly attitude sometimes found its way into the church and created lots of problems for the believers there. In weeks to come, we'll see that the church of Corinth was, in some ways, a church in disarray, a church in need of leadership and stability, a church in need of correction. At times, Paul will speak to them in a rather harsh, shape-up or ship-out manner. At other times, he will speak to them gently, with great encouragement and optimism. That's because this body of believers, who at times may have seemed not so good, they were still God's people. They were still bought with a price. They were still heirs to the promise made by God Himself, just like we are. Today we may not deal with the same issues that plagued that church in Corinth, but beloved, we've not yet attained perfection, not as a church or not as individuals. We're still a work in progress. So Paul's words to the church in Corinth surely apply to us today. So today, I want us to look at and understand three aspects of the work in progress that God is doing in our lives today. The first thing we need to understand is, you have been given the holiness you don't yet have. Paul begins this letter saying in verse 2, "To those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be holy." The word sanctified, a 14th century word. Anybody speak sanctified this week? So we may not fully understand what the word means, being it's a 14th century word. But it means set apart for a special purpose. The Message, which is a today's translation, translates it this way. Set apart for a God-filled life. Man, I like that, don't you? Mm-hmm. We have been set apart for a God-filled life. We have been made holy for a special purpose. And what's that special purpose? Our special purpose, according to Paul, is that we become holy and we become like Jesus Christ Himself. We have been set apart so that we might become who we were meant to be. A people filled full of a God-filled life. I want you to see a distinction here. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, it says that God, the God of peace, will sanctify you completely. God will sanctify you completely, almost like it's never happened. But his word says God will sanctify, he will sanctify you completely. In 1 Corinthians 1:2, it says that we have been sanctified in Jesus Christ. We have been sanctified in Jesus Christ. Now, which is it? I want you to understand today that both are true. We have been sanctified in God's word or by God's word so that we may be sanctified or set apart for a purpose in what God has called us to do. We're sanctified in the word so we can be sanctified indeed. We were set apart when we were saved. We were set apart at salvation so that as we live the Christian life, we might become holy. We might become like Jesus. To say that he's given us the holiness we don't yet have is like saying that he's given us a title we haven't yet attained. To say he's given us the holiness we don't yet have is like saying he's given us a title that we haven't yet attained. Imagine calling a young teenager who's got some blocks and gloves on in the backyard. Imagine calling them when there's the heavyweight boxing champion of the world before they ever step in the ring. Imagine naming a student as the senior class valedictorian their first day in kindergarten, giving them a title they've not yet attained. God has made you holy by his word so that you may become holy in all that you do. But we can't forget that becoming holy is a process. And you're a work in process. And sometimes some of us might not live up to the calling that we've been given. Sometimes some of us may lean. However, God has a calling on your life, and that calling is without revocation. He won't take it back, and he won't change his mind. He called you to be holy. He named you to be holy, and he will make you holy. As one man said it like this, he'll make you holy even if he has to drag you kicking and screaming all the way. So keep this in mind. Even though you've not yet quite attained the title you've been given, praise God. Remember, you're a work in progress. God has not finished with you yet. So the second thing we need to understand is you've been given all the gifts that you will ever need. And they come to you at the right time, just when you need them most. In verse 5, it says, in him you have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking and all your knowledge. So you've been enriched. This is what God is saying about us as believers in Christ. You have been enriched in every way. In all your speaking, all your knowledge. In verse 7, he says, therefore, you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what God said. You don't lack anything that you need. You've got it all. Later in chapter 12, Paul will deal and detail how every believer is given at least one spiritual gift, at least one, and often more than one. In fact, you can be sure that God will give you whatever you need when you need it. That's the kind of God that we serve. He doesn't hold back from us in our time of need. In Philippians 4, Paul said it this way, my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Many assumes that this verse is talking about our material needs. You've ever heard the word the prosperity gospel? Come to God and you'll get rich and all that kind of thing. That's what a lot of people think. Our material needs may be included, but God don't need material things. But this verse refers to so much more than material things. You know, we are fascinated with material things, don't we? We are. We're just fascinated. We seem to think the more things that we have, the better people that we are. But God's not that interested in material things. He's interested in giving us what we need. God has saved us, and He's called us. And as a follower of Jesus, everything that we do is about helping people find and follow Jesus, because He's the source of real life. And God has given us as a church and as an individual everything that we need to make this a reality today in this community. This is what we're called to do. And His promise is that if we will allow, God will give whatever we need in the moment that we need it. You can't get much better than that. When you need strength, He'll give you strength. If you need courage, He'll give you courage. If you need determination, God will supply the determination. If it's grace that you need, you can rely on God. If you need mercy, He'll meet your need. If you don't have the words, He'll give you the words to speak. Whatever your need is, your greatest need, whatever God calls you to do, God will equip you, God will empower you, God will give you the supernatural gift that you need to carry out the purpose that He's called you for. Now, sometimes you might be tempted to say, as I've been tempted to say, well, I'm not sure I got what it takes. Anybody ever said that? Yes. I don't know. I know God's kind of want me to do that, but yeah, He may have the wrong one, you know. I'm not sure that I have what it takes to be the person God made me to be. But you do have what it takes. Not in your own strength, but in His strength. When His power is working in you and through you, you have everything that it takes to walk with God and do what He's called you to do. And because God is great, I don't have to be. Listen, the truth is, to say I don't have what it takes is really saying that God don't have what it takes. And that's not true, because God does have what it takes. Paul told the church in Philippi, Philippians 2, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His purpose. We can't do nothing for God. But God, when God wills it in our life and He works through us according to His purpose, that's when His kingdom work is done. That's when God is seen. That's when God is shown off to the world. That is when we're filled full of God to the point that it spills over on others. God works in you to will and to act according to His great purpose. This verse is saying that God gives you the desire to do good. Anybody need a little desire here this morning? Yes. He gives you the ability to do good. Who needs some ability? Yes. All the gifts you need to live a holy life are already yours, beloved, in Jesus Christ. You were not created to lean. You were created to stand up straight. And this is what He wanted the believers in Corinth to understand. Even though at the moment there was a bit of disconnection between their calling and their current condition, they were still a work in progress, just like we are. But understand that God has given you all the gifts that you'll ever need. This process may take a little longer than you'd like, which brings us to the third truth we need to see this morning. You have been given the victory you can't yet see. Anybody needs some victory today? Well, you've been given the victory. You can't see yet. Think of the process involved in building the Tower of Pisa. Construction begins in August of 1173. 1173. That's not many years ago, weren't it? Now zoom forward 100 years. That's a long time, isn't it? It's 1273. The building still isn't finished. In fact, it's barely halfway done. It looks like it'll never be completed. But just wait. It will be completed. And when it is, it will be magnificent. As Jesus' ministry on earth came to a close, things seemed to quickly unravel for him and his band of unschooled ruffians that followed him around. He became a political and religious target. With every effort made to sabotage his work and turn the tide of public opinion against him, he was betrayed by a friend, then arrested, beaten, ridiculed, and abandoned by nearly all. He was led to death. He did not seem in that moment like the conquering hero they expected. He didn't appear to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He seemed more like a misguided martyr. But know this, nothing could be further from the truth, because it had already been determined by God Himself, even before the foundation of the world, that the grave couldn't hold Him. Amen? That He would rise victorious over sin and death, and He would reign forever and ever. He was a victor that could not yet be seen, but His victory was as real as it could be. Glory to God. And I want you to know that His victory has paved the way for your victory. Even though you can't see it today, you may feel like you may never get there, but I want you to know that God has given you victory that you can't yet see. Know this, church, God will bring His work to completion. And that's why Paul said in verse 8 that He will keep you strong to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of Christ. This phrase, strong to the end. Anybody needs a little strength? He will keep you strong to the end. It means that He will sustain you. Amen? It means that He will empower you. Amen? It means that if He has to, He will carry you. Amen. Paul said to the church in Philippi, in Philippians 1, He who began a work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Your potential to become great in God's kingdom may not be obvious to you. Your potential to be great in God's kingdom may not be obvious to those around you. But His eyes on the sparrow. And if He's looking at the sparrow, He's looking at you. And He's looking at me, amen? And when God sees, He sees it because He put it there and He plans to make it happen. Glory to His name. Even if He has to drag us kicking and screaming along the way. God will finish what He began in you, even if it seems to take forever. There's good news. Hallelujah for the not so good. So in conclusion, the leaning power of Tower of Pisa took 199 years to complete. It wasn't long before what some had seen during the construction process became obvious to everyone who looked. It was leaning a full 5 degrees. When you build a building, Chris, is that good news?
No, sir.
It looked like it could fall in a minute. You know, the first time I saw that thing, I said, that thing's fixing to fall over. When you saw it in the picture or whatever? You seen those pictures on Facebook where people act like they're over there holding it up? You know? It looked like it could fall at any minute. This vulnerability reminds me of something Paul would later say to the same Corinthian church, not in his first letter, but in his second. In 2 Corinthians 12, he's talking about some of the trials he faced. And he quotes Christ as saying to him, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." The leaning aspect of the Tower of Pisa could be considered a defect. Did you think that when you saw it? There's something defective there. It could be considered a weakness. But yet it could also be considered an architectural miracle. A leaning building should fall. But this one hadn't. And according to experts, it's not going to. The tilt has become instead a fascinating feature. Now you and me, we may lean a little bit. Amen? We may lean a little bit. And at times we're not all that level. In fact, we could quite easily be susceptible to a fall. Except for the architectural miracle of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. Glory to God. If you know Him as your Lord and Savior, if your life is centered in Jesus, God has sanctified you and set you apart, and He called you holy. And He's in the process of making you holy. He's given you gifts that you need to become the person that He's made you to be. And He has every intention of finishing His work that He's begun. We may lean a little bit, but when we yield ourselves fully to Him, He's able to sustain us. He's able to hold us. He's able to pick us up. And beloved, when we're weak, when we're at our weakest, when we're at a place in life to where we're thinking, I just don't have what it takes, that's when His power is made perfect. And if you're feeling like that today, you're ripe. You're ripe for the wonder-working power of Almighty God. Church was still a work in progress. And we need to root each other on. We need to pray for one another and support one another and build each other up. Because the process may not always be observable to those on the outside. But we need to be sure that the progress is being made. And we're in this all together. God has made a promise to us. And we can be sure that He's going to finish the work that He has begun. And that you're going to stand strong for eternity to come. Amen?
Amen.
Praise His name. Lord, we thank You today for Your word. And the message that You give to us. Your plan is already in progress. It's already in place. And You have the power to bring it to fruition. Speak to us. Use us. Move upon us with Your Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's all turn to 527. In our hymnals, we're going to stand and sing verses 1 and 4. I Know Whom I Have Believed.
Amen. Once again, we thank you for worshiping with us, bringing the spirit of worship, carry that spirit out into the world, pour it on someone. Amen. Have a good week. May the Lord be with you. Anybody have anything to say before we leave? Don't forget prayer requests to Pam for the prayer team. And expect great things as we pray for one another and this community together.
So, and we have seen some great things.
Yes, we have. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, let's bow our heads. Billy, would you dismiss us?
Father, we thank you for this time to gather together here in this place of worship this morning. We thank you, Father, that you have called us to be holy, realizing that we are a work in progress. We thank you for giving us everything that we need when we need it. And sometimes we fail to thank you because we so often take it for granted. And more importantly, we thank you, Father, for that victory that you've given to us that we have not yet seen. And thank you that you have paved that way for us. We pray for those who've been mentioned, those who are struggling, any prayer requests. We just lift them up to you, Lord, and just ask that you breathe on them and make them whole and heal them. We just speak life into them. Be with us as we go throughout this week and until we meet again. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you.